Welcome to another episode of the Eagles Water Cooler out from behind the screens of Zoom. We are live and in person. I'm here with Matt, Andrew, and Mike. We are gathering today for a viewing of the Eagles-Jets game, which we will discuss later on in the podcast. It's been a while since we podcasted. It's been even longer since all of us have been on one. Good to be with you guys.
This is fun. This is great.
Yeah.
Great to be back.
Good to be here.
Sunny day in early December. Unseasonably warm. I'm enjoying it.
But we got the window open in the studio here.
We do. It's cracked just enough to let some breeze in. And the Eagles, unfortunately, after having two great games, one out in Denver where they got a great win, and one home against the Saints where they also got another great win. We were hoping that they would string another together against their rival Giants up in the Meadowlands, but they lost last week. And it seemed just when the team had some momentum and was starting to foster some faith in the fan base, the Eagles suffered this loss at the Giants. They, I think, overlooked their competition. They got away from their formula initially, eventually got back to it, but it just took too long. Basically beat themselves. I did not see that as a Giants win, but more of an Eagles loss. And they still had a chance to win, but couldn't deliver. Unbelievably frustrating game last week in the wake of two wins that were confidence building, I'll say. Let's get into talking specifically about Jalen Hurts. And there's sort of hot news this morning that Jalen Hurts will not play today, this afternoon, 1 o'clock against the Jets due to ankle soreness, and that Gardner Minshew will start. But I think Hurts is still worth talking about because of the good performances against the Broncos and the Saints. I was hoping that he would have another good game. Obviously, threw very well out in Denver, ran for a bunch of touchdowns against the Saints, and came into that Giants game and I thought had his worst game as an Eagle. Threw three interceptions. Every one of them was a bad pick. He looked immature, really was not making good decisions with the ball at all. I think he made some throws and receivers didn't catch it. The big narrative this week is about Jalen Reagor not coming down with those two passes at the end of the game. But there was, speaking of narratives, another strong narrative sort of circling around the team and the organization that Jalen Hurts, based on his play the last couple of weeks, had sort of played his way into the team's future plans. And as a fan, I was just curious what you guys thought about that at this point in the season, given the good that you've seen, given last week sort of a low point against the Giants, and knowing that he's got places where he needs to improve. Do you view that as viable, that he's part of the Eagles' future in your eyes also?
Right now, Chris, I don't. I wish I could say yes, but I really can't. I think it's because upper management still doesn't believe in him. We know that Howie has gone and scouted other quarterbacks earlier this season, and I think that he still needs a game or two to make him the deciding factor for next year moving forward. But I just think that upper management still does not believe in Jalen Hurts, even though I think a good bit of the fan base does.
Are you counted among those?
I am a part of that fan base that is on the Hurts bandwagon.
Okay. Mike, what do you think?
I just say, hearing the news that he's not going to play, I'm bummed.
Mm-hmm. It's disappointing.
It's disappointing because, like, he has been trending well, and he's kind of been picking up the conversation about Jalen could be a potential quarterback for us going forward. And now that, you know, of the games we have left, he's going to miss today. That's just unfortunate. We're not going to get to see that extra play from him. Coming off, you know, a performance that I'm sure he would, let's just say, we want to see how he would rebound off the performance that he gave against the Giants.
Yep.
And everything, you know, he's done, I would say, at this point, I'm thinking, and it's really hard because we are so critical of players and you have to perform well now. And there's another player, you know, that we'll talk about at some point who's underperforming. But, you know, we expect to see results now. I think Jalen has shown stuff, and at least he's earned himself maybe a little bit more time past this year. based on some of the stuff that we've been seeing for the past 3 or 4 weeks. He is a difference maker in terms of the run game. He definitely brings that to the table, and I think that in and of itself is something to build off of, because he's a difference maker in terms of his running ability, which means that because of that, defenses will have to adjust to him, which opens up other things on the field.
His ability to run combined with the bye coming up next week may be contributing factors in him sitting out this game. So just to be fair, I think we'll see what happens with Minshew today, and we're going to discuss that a little bit more later. But I think Hurts is going to be given the rest of the time that he's healthy. I do think that it coming against the Jets on the precipice of the bye week, and then also given that if he's not a mobile quarterback, he's much more limited, I think those are factors. Andrew, you go ahead about this question. So this idea of Hurts playing his way into the Eagles' future.
Yeah, just wanted to...
Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Give a stat here. Stat, Matt. Jalen Hurts is a top 10 runner in the league right now. He's right behind Lamar Jackson, and the rest are running backs. So, great point, Mike. We cannot count him out with his running ability. Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as Sirianni and the offensive game plan decide to run the ball early and often, then I think Jalen can be a quarterback in this league. But I think at this point he's shown enough with his arm that he makes a couple good throws a game, but he also makes a handful of really bad passes, probably holds on to the ball a little bit too long in the pocket, or looks to scramble maybe a little bit too early than he should. So I don't know. I don't want the Giants game to cloud our full assessment of him, because we came into the season wanting to see how he played 17 games, or as long as he stayed healthy.
Would you be willing to let him play more games next year based off what you've seen so far? Not decide this guy is the franchise QB, but let's see. Let's give him a little bit more. Has he earned that?
Sure. I don't think... Yes, like I wouldn't necessarily go in thinking, like going into the draft thinking we needed to go draft our franchise quarterback. But there are rumors of, you know, Russell Westbrook and Aaron Rodgers.
Russell Westbrook switching over to football?
Oh, Russell Westbrook, yeah.
He'd be a fierce safety, maybe.
Yeah.
Definitely safety.
Yeah, he's quick.
I like that.
But no, there are rumors going around about Russell Wilson's willingness to waive his trade clause to come to Philadelphia.
A unique situation, but if something like that came up, I would be probably okay with that. But on the reverse end, sure, let Jalen kind of ride it out.
Yeah, and as the free agency rumors swirl and as the draft capital sits as it is with the Eagles having 3 first-round picks, it's pretty compelling. I think Matt had made a comment on an earlier podcast about this concept of, I think his quote was, Jalen can learn to make that throw. And what we're talking about is the willingness of us as fans and the organization to wait to watch him learn to make that throw. Whereas I think for the most part, what we saw in Carson Wentz when we got him is pretty much what we got. What we saw in McNabb is pretty much what we got. He was more mobile when he got here, and as his weight kind of piled on, that part of his
ate
game
that
changed.
Chunky soup.
That's right. Plenty of it from his mom. But it makes me wonder about that ability of Jalen when we look down the line, is he somebody that we think the team is willing to build around? Because I think these narratives are true. I think there was sort of a mounting confidence in the organization in Jalen over those wins against Denver and against New Orleans. And it was a step back against the Giants, but I agree with Andrew in that it's probably not a real representation of what he's capable of. It's just our most recent memory. Yeah. Maddie.
Yeah, I just want to point out also the throwing attempts for the last couple games. He had 14 attempts against Detroit, 17 attempts against the Chargers. Yes, that was a loss, but that was a winnable game in the end. Then we come back, we beat Denver, 23 attempts. New Orleans win, 24 attempts. Giants, 31 attempts. Throwing over 30 times a game may not be his fit going forward, and that's on Sirianni to game plan around that.
Andrew's got something.
Yeah, so I totally agree with that, and that's why I said I think as long as we stay focused on the run and we're run heavy, Jalen can succeed probably more. We were without Jordan Howard. Kelsey went down for a little bit, so I think there was a not a freak out on Sirianni's part, but he clearly got away from the run first, run heavy thought process. I would say that in the second half, I thought he made an adjustment and started to focus on the run to bounce it out a little bit, but I think that was more circumstantial that he wound up throwing a lot more.
And not game. Not to bounce around, but I think to kind of support what you're talking about, the word is balance. And when Jalen Hurts is throwing the ball too much, or if he's in a situation where he's the leading rusher, the Eagles are actually 1-6.
Wow.
I looked that up a couple days ago when I was compiling it. So if you think about that, he needs just the right balance of throws and running the ball spread around, not just him doing it. I think he's always going to get his yards. But for the most part, if the run game is supporting his ability to run and also making the defense think twice, I mean, the Giants seemed to read that read option play pretty well and hit him pretty hard when, yep. when he kept the ball in the gut.
Good
but
point.
I think that that's something that can continue to work for them. I just don't think that they're as successful when he's a leading rusher or if he's asked to throw too much. Let's move on to talk about Sirianni a little bit. Sirianni, I think, has really seesawed most of this season. A lot of it has to do with him not going to the run early enough, and then once they'd had success with the run, not sticking with it. We saw that again against the Giants. He seemed to go away from the formula. We saw a lot of Hurts in shotgun. He doesn't seem to prioritize Goddard and Smith the way that I'd like him to. Goddard was one catch for 0 yards versus the Giants, and Smith was 2 for 22. He needs to get those two weapons involved early and often, and I think the Eagles are limited in passing targets, but those two guys have to be part of the game plan earlier. But with 5 games remaining, one of them being today's 1 o'clock matchup with the Jets, the Eagles, this is not a storyline that's really going around, but the Eagles actually have surpassed their success last year already at 5-7. Last year they were 4-11-1, I believe was what I wound up being. So they've already surpassed that success that they had under Doug Peterson. And interestingly, Doug Peterson was interviewed by John Clark this week. I don't know if anybody caught any of that, but made me a little nostalgic for Doug. But with Sirianni, given everything you've seen this year, do you like the direction he's taking the team in? And what's one thing you want to really see him improve on? Let's start with Andrew.
Maybe I'll start with the one thing I want to see him improve on before
that's a good way
we kind of get into him. But I would like him to be more proactive in his approach than reactive. I think even the way that we've started to run the ball more, that was after – I don't know, 4 games and then us screaming about it and
literally chanting.
Yeah. Seemingly like, you know, Miles Sanders has 1 rush. You got to be kidding me. So, yes, it's good he made the adjustment, but I would rather him be able to make that without like games and games of proof that he needed to do that before.
Yeah.
He is a first year coach. He should get the benefit of the doubt, I think. And maybe these are learning curves and maybe he is faster to adjust than, you know, we're giving him credit for. But I would like to see those maybe game planning or those adjustments. I want to see those be more proactive than reactive.
Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to need a minute to think of something.
Do you have anything on where he's taking the direction of the team?
Yeah. While a couple games late, I do think he deserves credit for making the adjustments, for pushing the run game, seemingly trying to play into Jalen Hurts's
very, skill set.
Very narrow but defined comfort zone and skill set to try to get the best out of him. Me included, and probably the most guilty of this, but he's a first-year coach. Most of those guys are first-year, you know, coaches in their positions.
Young coaches, young team.
Yep. So these are growing pains, and I think we should have expected this. You know, I think most pundits had us at 3 wins for the year, and we're already suppressed that. But I think when we have those 2 games against Denver and New Orleans, and you see, okay, this thing's rolling, and then you lose to the Giants. The Giants are a bad football team.
Agreed.
And we played down to them, and it was a division game, sure. But, like, that was brutal. And then it kind of makes you reevaluate everything again. So I think Sirianni deserves credit. I think the one thing going against him, too, is he's still, in my opinion, not a super, like, likable guy. I think he still plays this homer card and I don't know if that resonates just yet with Philly fans, and
I think he's still finding the balance there.
Yeah.
So I think he's still finding the balance
Some balance there.
You give a lot of credence too to his inexperience, and I think that's a part to really consider. for the question that we asked about Jalen Hurts, I believe that Nick Sirianni has played his way into the Eagles' future plans in that maybe he was always going to, maybe they were always going to give him a couple years, but there were times this season I wasn't sure about that, that he would be the coach next year and that we would have such a quick turnover, which is unusual for the Eagles, but I think they're sort of in a sensitive position now, and I think Lurie would not hesitate if he felt that things were going that way. So whereas Jalen Hurts' future is uncertain, I think we can expect Sirianni to be the coach next year. That's just me personally. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I think you have to give every new head coach at least 3 years to develop, 2 to 3 years. Yes, you do get those guys that get in there and they're just not ready.
One and done.
Yeah, and but that's few and far between if you go back into the history of the NFL. I think Sirianni has earned another year, and you definitely need to give some time for a first year coach to develop. What has me a little nervous is I don't want the Chip Kelly effect to take place. Chip Kelly inherited a team, and he had to adjust his coaching to that team that he inherited, and he did a decent job. He went 10-6 his first two seasons as the Eagles head coach. And then when he got the power, when it became his team, we went 6-9, we went 2-14. And I really would hate to see Sirianni take a similar path to that.
Yeah, and I think one thing about Chip Early was he was putting up a lot of points. One thing about Doug Early was he was putting up a lot of points. But the team over the last couple of years since the Super Bowl has kind of stagnated, and they were really not averaging that many points. I want to say less than 20 points or just about that. The Eagles are averaging 25 points a game this year. So I think the production is there. The question is, can they sustain it? And can they sustain it through the run game? I don't know. I mean, I think this is something people are talking about. Is the league going to catch up? Run game is not something to catch up to. It's one of the oldest facets of the game. I think if it works, and especially against New Orleans, excuse me, a couple weeks ago where they said, oh, the Eagles are going to have to change their formula, that was one of their best running games this year, so Hurts included. So I think it is a question of whether or not they are able to catch up, but it's an interesting place that they're in now in terms of finding that identity or formulating that identity.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we know that Sirianni is a pass-first coach.
He's right. A receiver.
Yeah, right. He came from the Colts, and you saw what they did with Rivers last year. Mm-hmm. A guy that should have retired. He had a Pro Bowl season in his last year, and I think Sirianni has a lot of credit there for what he was able to do with Rivers. Hurts isn't Rivers, though.
No, great point.
And he has adjusted to a more run heavy offense, but down the line he's going to want to get back to the passing the ball.
Yep. That's something. Yep. Actually, I'm glad you brought up that makes me question Jalen Hurts' future, because they actually asked offensive coordinator Shane Steichen about whether or not he's worked with a mobile quarterback before, and he said this was brand new to him. I would imagine it's pretty new relatively to Sirianni. I mean, he's been in San Diego, Indy, and Kansas City.
Yeah.
When it was Alex Smith. So, you know, I don't think any of them are that well versed in the breed of quarterback that Jalen Hurts is. So I think that's a really good point. Mike, your thoughts on Sirianni, where he's taking the team, and something you want to see him improve upon?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, I guess, the path that he's taken this season in terms of going real pass heavy early on and then becoming more run heavy. The thing that I'd like to see him improve on is becoming more consistent. I think it's probably quite easy for us as fans to say There's a clear formula that seems to be working here, especially while Jalen Hurts is developing, which is to run the ball. And as we've run the ball, you've seen much better play out of Hurts and much more production out of the offense in general. He needs to be more consistent. In the Giants game, he really did get away from that. And there's definitely there's definitely plays during the game that, you know, ran it on first down, got like a 1 yard loss. Maybe Miles was tackled in the backfield. Then you got second and long, pass incomplete, and then he's got to pass again. Yeah. So I mean, like, there's things that play out.
It's a rhythm thing
that added to it. But you know, overall, over the course of the whole game, he should just, as we say, stick to the formula. And it's very easy for us to say that. I think long term, like you're saying, I've heard him talk about he wants to have big plays. He wants big yardage plays to be a part of their offense. And, you know, he probably has to restrain himself quite a bit during games to, you know, not calling too many of those and just sticking to the formula, sticking to what works. But overall, I mean, I personally think Sirianni's been a fun person to root for. He definitely makes an effort to identify with Philadelphia and the area.
A little bit
over the top. So he's finding his balance there. But at least he's making the effort in what seems to be more authentic than what Chip Kelly did.
Which was nothing.
Just stagnate.
I'm looking for it.
He got rid of Shady.
Over the course of this year, you've seen him adjust his mindset to be, okay, we're going to implement this pass-heavy offense.
That's a good point. He's kind of removed his ego at a couple points during the season to recognize that running is what's working, and a lot of other coaches with big egos probably would not have been able to sort of get out of their own way.
And I think it's helpful in the development of Jalen Hurts, who doesn't have the all-pro arm by any means yet in his arsenal. He needs, you know, that's the biggest thing that he needs to work on. I think one of the things that we need to watch from Jalen going forward is seeing improvement in the passing game. I think quick decision making and the ability to play ahead of what you currently see on the field, whether that's envisioning the, you know, let's just say Devontae Smith coming off a cornerback when at the time he throws the ball, it might not look like that. You know, these quick decisions, I think, are something that Jalen Hurts needs to get better at in the passing game. And it made me think a little bit. I've heard talks and comparison to Drew Brees early on in his career. Obviously, there were a lot of critics about his arm strength and his ability to throw the ball. And for him, it was a learned skill. So why can that not be the same for Jalen? If we're seeing positive trends of his play, like, why, you know, there's no reason to think he can't do that, but he needs to show it. And anyway, Sirianni has allowed this development. I think that's a pro one.
Well, and we're talking about a developing player who, if he would have played today, would have just reached sort of a full season to give us a sample size. But I think it's also worth saying that Sirianni, in situations like last week, and we'll get to Rager in a little while, but Sirianni, to me, made the right play call to throw that ball down the sideline. It just was the wrong play call to Rager, to me. And even still, it was a good play call. The player got open, just didn't make the catch. So he's making the right calls. I think part of what he's still figuring out is his own identity as a coach, as well as the identity of the team and what players do well. I wanted to talk about some winning trends, and I mentioned earlier the lack of success when Jalen Hurts is the leading rusher. Again, the Eagles are 1-6 when Jalen Hurts is the leading rusher in the 2021 season. But in the games the Eagles have won in 2021, Dallas Goedert and Devontae Smith are both big factors. In the win in Atlanta, Goddard was 4-42. Smith was 6-71 with a touchdown. Carolina was more of a rushing game. Detroit was more of a rushing game, but still Dallas Goedert was 6-72. The win against the Broncos, Goddard was 2-28. Smith was 4-66. Against the Saints, Goddard was 4-62. Smith was 4-61. It's clear to me that they're weapons, and I think Sirianni has to make more of an effort to prioritize those two guys when looking at this offense, especially when it comes to passing the ball and the fact that you're only going to ask your quarterback, whether it's today with Gardner Minshew or when it's Jalen Hurts, to do that so often in throwing the ball, that the limited targets, you really have to focus on the people who can be productive, the players who can be productive. Let's talk a little about the defense and some trends there. I just thought this was interesting. In their 7 losses this year, the Eagles are 5-7 at this remove in the season.
Hey, Chris, real quick, yep. I thought that was a good point about passing the ball to particularly our playmakers, Goddard and Smith. You know, you could also make the effort that the trend that we really should be looking at is the running the ball, how much overall rushing yards we're getting in a game. I don't know if we looked that up as well.
I mean, it got to a point, I know against Detroit, it was
we've
up
been
in
averaging
the 40s,
like
but
over 200 rush yards per
even
game
last week against the Giants. But a big percentage of that, as I said last week, came from Jalen Hurts. He was the leading rusher last week when they lost. So it's important to sort of recognize that. The defense, as I mentioned, or was starting to say before, they have in the Eagles 7 losses this year. They have a total of 7 sacks. In their 5 wins, The Eagles have 13 sacks. So when the D-line gets after a quarterback, especially a rookie quarterback like they have the opportunity to today in Zach Wilson, that they can make an impact. And I think that's going to be a big difference maker down the stretch, because we've seen underperformances from a lot of the D-line. I've been underwhelmed by Josh Sweat despite his signing. I do like Milton Williams a lot. I hope he gets more opportunities, but to me, Derek Barnett is sort of plateaued. Had some flashes here and there, but has not been consistent. Josh Sweat, we're not really seeing it. Hargrave once in a while, Fletch once in a while, but we need to see the D-line be active, because that winning trend to me is not just this season, but as we've talked about on this podcast, stretches back a long time. Let's talk about a couple receivers. Andrew, did you have something?
I was going to kind of just segue and see if we can get to an understanding of why this defensive line isn't getting home. Are they old?
It's frustrating.
Is it scheme? Is it? I don't know. And I keep watching them and guessing, and the talent still seems there. I mean, Fletch is probably a step slower, but he's still dominant.
And they're there.
But he's starting to lose one-on-ones a little bit more.
And we're going, get him. And for whatever reason, that Trevor Siemian is able to get the ball out in that last second.
I don't know what it is, and maybe it's something that we need a whole nother podcast, or we dive in and watch them this game. Well, but I don't have any. I don't know. And it's frustrating.
I mean, I have two thoughts.
Okay, please.
You know, the first could be, you know, probably I'm not sure how much of a difference, but BG's out. BG's been out for the whole year, so this is definitely
great point, Mike.
It's definitely
huge loss.
Huge loss for the D line,
especially in run stop.
Second point is, you know, we did sign Sweat, but I feel like we do kind of know what Sweat is. He's not going to be an all-star.
He's a limited player.
Defensive end. Barnett.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles used a first-round pick on stud defensive end this year to juice up the line.
Thank you. Yeah. So I actually was going to bring this up later in terms of talking about the defense and some standout players, and I think we can all agree Darius Slay is having an unbelievable year. Avante Maddox is having a great year. TJ Edwards has really stepped up.
Singleton.
Milton Williams, Singleton. All these guys have stepped up, but I'm still saying we need a D-end. We need a linebacker and we need a corner, despite the fact that all three of those positions have had people step up. And this was something I was going to bring up later, but I would still use the draft capital at this moment on those three positions. That's me personally.
Yeah.
Maybe not in that order, but I think we're at a position now where we have some players, but we don't have. Let's think back to pass rushers that were really, like, when you think back to that Raiders game and thinking about Ngakoue, just the wreck that he caused in that game.
Right.
You know, there are certain players that the Eagles have faced where you've seen, and Fletcher Cox used to be this guy where he's a game wrecker. We really don't have a player like that. So although they have some young talent, they need to continue to draft around it. Can we talk two receivers real quick?
Real quick on the defense, I think we're being a little harsh. Eagles are a top 10 defense in the league when it comes to yards allowed. They're 12th in passing yards allowed.
They've been stingy.
12th in passing yards allowed, 16th in rushing yards allowed, and 15th in points allowed. So they're on the better side of the league when it comes to defense.
And they certainly did enough to win last week.
Correct.
But I think we can still be frustrated that our front four that should be dominant, that there's a lot of salary invested into that, are underperforming.
I'm not taking away from that, but we still have a better defense than I think
us
credit for.
I think we need a point person, and I think Brandon Graham, despite everything else, I think he was that person. And I think if they are going to use the draft capital for D end, given that they have a good amount of draft capital in the first round, I wouldn't hate it. Let's talk a little about these receivers. So I just wanted to touch on this player in Devontae Smith. I've just enjoyed watching him so much this year. And I really just wanted to bring up to you all, since we haven't had the chance to talk, especially in person, that this is something Matt and I talked about on a previous podcast. We don't have a paradigm or a predecessor or a model for Devontae Smith. Our concept of a Eagles receiver that's really worthwhile is in the model of Terrell Owens. And that's just because he's the last receiver that maybe we took that sort of admiration for, just loved as much as we did, and who was that productive. Devontae Smith is not Terrell Owens. He's not DeSean Jackson. He's not Jeremy Maclin. He's none of these guys. He's a completely different breed. And as a fan, I'm sort of adjusting to that part of it. But at the same time, I feel he brings something totally different to the table. And I actually think he's one of these guys where his best days are still ahead of him. I see him growing even despite his pedigree coming in as a Heisman winner and having gone to Alabama. So I just wanted to mention that I think he's just sort of cut from a different cloth from what we're used to when it comes to a wide receiver one. To me, in the long run, he's Stephon Diggs, maybe a little better. He has that kind of a build. He has that kind of a presence on the field. He's crafty, and he just gets open. And that's the hardest thing, I think, for Eagles receivers over the last couple of years is just being able to beat their man and get open, and the guy gets open. Let's talk a little about Jalen Reagor, who is absolutely on the hot seat in Philadelphia this week. Thank you. He did make a great catch.
Nelson Reagor?
Nelson Reagor. he made one great leaping catch last week, but he had two consecutive catches that he dropped at the end of the game against the Giants that would have won the game for the Eagles despite all their slot play throughout the day. In previous weeks, Reagor has not been a factor, not been a part of the offensive game plan. They gave him looks, whether it was just sort of a scramble or just what it was. He wound up getting some opportunities last week, 7 targets, which was more than Devontae Smith, more than Dallas Goedert, who we mentioned earlier, the really viable pass-catching weapons. I just want to ask you, based on what you saw last week, based on what you've seen from Reagor, as a coach going in today, knowing that you're going to be playing your backup quarterback in Gardner Minshew, knowing that Reagor had a tough week last week, do you view him as a bust and just shelf him from a coaching standpoint, or do you say, let's get this guy involved, let's get him a catch, let's build his confidence back up? Mike.
Sure. I think you do get him. I think you do get him involved again. What's crazy to me is the catch that Reagor missed at the end of the game, which would have basically won the game for the Eagles. He's made that same catch like twice this year. We know he can do that, and we've actually seen it in games. So the fact that it because it didn't happen on that play, I do think we are very quick to judge him at least where he is in his career, and I think that's the nature of the NFL. That's just we should allow more time for the player to develop. Now,
this is a first-round pick.
Yeah.
First-round picks are plug-and-play. It's not his fault where he was drafted, but to me, at, what was he, 21?
22.
Okay.
22.
Either way, this is a player who comes in as a first-round pick. He needs to be able to make those big catches. Yes. It's not his fault where he was drafted, but we have to look at this as saying, if Jalen Reagor is a fourth-round pick, I say, yeah, he's developmental. That's a developmental play. It didn't happen. I can live with it. I'm still not happy about it, but I can live with it because I know his draft grade and his draft stock. So do we point to Howie? I don't know. But either way, we have to consider it.
To me, it's more of where is Jalen Reagor's production overall? Because that's where he's been missing from. He's just not showing up in a lot of games. He's not getting a lot of catches. He's not making the impact that we would expect of a first-round player. The dropped catch at the end of the game, that is the point that I'm making. Because we've seen him do that before, we know he can make the catch. He just wasn't able to make the catch on that play. I'm saying, based on that play alone, don't write off Jalen Reagor.
But hasn't earned that, though. If it's Devonta Smith and he drops the pass, then you can say, you know what, we've seen him step up before. We know he can do it.
Good example Jalen for the question. Good example for the question. Andrew's saying, no doubt, if Devontae Smith has that same drop, no doubt I'm going back to him. To circle back to my question is, Jalen Reagor had those drops twice in a row. Are we going back? Are you going back to him, Coach Mike?
Well, I guess kind of saying, yeah. Sorry, Matt. We'll pass it to you in a sec here.
Right. But I mean, that's what we were kind of saying before, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing to consider is what other option is there?
True.
So isn't it in our best interest to at least see what Jalen Reagor has, just like we're doing with Jalen Hurts, just like we're doing with some other positions? We are seeing what guys have. The same reason I'm bummed Davion's still out, because he was looking great, and you know, Singleton does give you know what Singleton can bring, but let's see what Davion can have. Let's see what Reagor could possibly do.
It's also consider the competition. You got the Jets this week, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but you have to figure that maybe he gets more opportunities against the team that's banged up in the secondary. Matt?
I'm writing him off. All right. I'm done with him.
You'd rather have JJ out there.
I'd rather have JJ out there. I'd rather have JJ.
Except when he picks up penalties for it. But
yeah, can't set a pick. But
yeah, I mean, we also have to take into consideration that Reggers our punt return guy, and he has done absolutely nothing.
Get him out.
Absolutely nothing.
Can't make people miss.
He hasn't done a single. Yes, sorry. That's been a pain point for me all year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And get him out of there. He runs out of bounds whenever he sees pressure, and he doesn't see the lane. Now, he did have one good return for a touchdown last year. It was meaningless, but it was still a good return. He hasn't been able to do that. And to me, he's a mental midget. And I don't think he recovers from these two dropped passes.
Wasn't drafted by this coaching staff. Would not be surprised to see Reagor out the door. Mental midget is one of my favorite phrases of all time, and I really think he may be in a position. This is a guy who's
Matt's
been known
to hate mail.
to chirp at people on social media. His father chirped at people on social media. This
Cancel
is a guy who, you know, we talked about Nelson Aguilar before
it
jokingly,
is.
But
it
clearly
is.
He's
it's
dealing
Nelson
with that.
Aguilar 2.0.
I would say that to me, Jalen at least mentally seems in a much better position than Nelson was.
He was
Nelson was
time.
Also very open about how much he was struggling.
Nelson also caught 9 passes for
he
almost 100 yards in the Super Bowl, and Jalen Reagor to me seems wholly incapable of that, whether it's now or, you know, next year.
Yeah.
So I think we have to consider the development of the player, but my question is because
he
almost
also took ownership in the media this week.
Aguilar was at a similar point that he was sat down and they sort of went away from him as part of the game plan.
They benched him for a game, right?
Right. That Mike is kind of saying, you know what, I give Reagor a chance, and maybe against the Jets you do. Let's circle around with this. It sounds like Matt's out completely.
Yes.
Andrew, what are your thoughts? Do you go back to Reagor?
I want to be in, but I'm out.
Okay.
Bench him, make him realize where he's at, what he needs to do.
And let Quez Watkins make those plays. I think, you know, if he can make those plays, it doesn't matter to me who's making them. I know it matters to Howie, but we have an option in him, and I feel more confident at this point with Quez. Shoot, with JJ, like Matt had said earlier. So
definitely not with JJ. Quez, yes.
Yeah, I
please,
go Quez
please
over
stop
JJ.
Talking about JJ like he's the next man up here.
I mean, it's to that. I think it's to that point though, just because JJ, a second round pick, was high draft stock, and we're seeing multiple busts kind of back to back. We're gonna break here.
I was gonna say we're gonna get into talking about today's game.
We are. I want to break just momentarily to have a little game of Eagles alma maters, if that's okay.
All right.
So we're gonna. I have a list here of Eagles drafted players, Eagles free agent or traded for players, and then I also have a miscellaneous list of the top NFL wide receivers. And you tell me where they went to college.
Yikes!
Got it.
All right. Who would like to start?
Winner gets
a hoagie.
A hoagie.
Who would like to start?
From Wawa.
I'll Double start, meats.
Chris. All right, Mike, I will give you a choice. Do you want a wide receiver, an Eagles drafted, a wide receiver from across the league, an Eagles drafted player, or an Eagles free agent?
I will take Eagles free agents.
All right. Mike, where did Alshon Jeffrey go to college?
Are we allowed to?
Absolutely.
Alshon Jeffrey, I believe, is a Gamecock.
He is indeed.
Yeah.
Wow.
He is indeed, Michael. Great
job. University of South Carolina.
Great job.
Well done.
Great job. Matt, we're going to go to you. Matt, ooh, would you like, I'm giving you a choice here. Would you like an Eagles draft pick, Eagles free agent, or a miscellaneous wide receiver?
Give me miscellaneous wide receiver.
Matt, where did Stephon Diggs go to college? Got mentioned earlier on this podcast.
Stephon
D-I-double-G.
I wonder if they use that. That's pretty good.
Man, that's pretty good.
I was reading about his brother Tavon earlier today.
Who played for Alabama.
Maybe we'll give half credit for where Tavon went.
Alabama.
No. So, interestingly, Stephon Diggs went to Maryland.
Ooh, I would have not
probably,
gotten
probably,
that.
Yeah, probably, yeah,
a D1
one.
School, but not necessarily the premier program.
Big Ten, right?
Awful campus.
Yeah. Big Ten. Awful campus.
College Park.
Okay. Bad campus.
Bad campus.
Never been. Andrew.
Bump not enough dorm rooms Bump for Sparks. The kids.
Andrew, your choice.
Give me Eagles. The draft.
All right. Eagles draft. Let's pick. Let's see.
I should have gone Eagles draft.
Thanks was tough.
Andrew, where did Vinny Curry go to college?
Vincent Curry?
He didn't go to college.
Vincent.
I want to say Cincinnati, but I think that's wrong.
Okay. Let me know when you have your final answer.
So my final answer is Ole Miss.
We are.
Is that a lock? Is that a final answer?
Marshall is the answer.
We Ooh. Are Marshall.
He's a Marshall
part
guy.
Part of the herd.
I meant old right. Marshall.
Old
did I say
Marshall.
Ole Miss? I meant old Marshall.
When I said Ole Miss, all right, Mike,
did you
we're
guys
back
know,
to you.
Wait, did you guys know that?
Mike, we're back to you.
No,
your
I
choice.
Looked it up. Okay.
NFL wide receiver, Eagles free agent, or Eagles draft pick?
I'll go Eagles draft pick this time.
Eagles draft pick. Mike, where did Nick Foles go to college?
Ooh, come on.
Nick Foles is out on the West Coast. Gosh. Now, did he and Zachary Ertz, they weren't same school, were they?
Mike, I just can't answer that.
Oh, sorry. That was a different question.
We get a timer here.
All right. I'm going to go Nick Foles, UCLA.
Arizona. He went to Michigan State and then transferred to Arizona.
He met his wife at Arizona. She was a volleyball player.
Very interesting backstory there, Matthew.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, Matt. An Eagles free agent, an Eagles draft pick,
really
or
have some, like,
a miscellaneous wide receiver.
Jeopardy music.
Give me that free agent.
All right. An Eagles free agent. Matt, where did Jay Ajayi go to college?
Damn. Well, he's from England.
Mm-hmm.
You went to
school here.
He did go to school here. Definitely.
This school is particularly notable for one aesthetic reason.
Okay. That's a giveaway.
Really?
Where's my giveaway?
Is that a giveaway?
Matt looks like he need more help than you.
I need a lot of help here.
You
talk
went
about
to Boise State.
Ooh.
They got that blue field.
The blue field. Mm-hmm. Man, I wouldn't have gotten that either.
All right, Andrew, what do you got?
Miscellaneous for 1,000.
All right. Mike is the only person who's gotten one so far. Let's
That's
see.
Right.
We're not team score.
Want to challenge Andrew?
Always.
Where did Tyler Lockett go to college? I will give you a hint, but it's only so much of a hint.
Okay.
It's the same college Darren Sproles went to.
That to me makes it even harder. I would never think Darren Sproles
okay,
went
State?
Here.
Close, Kansas State.
Kansas State.
Kansas State. Yeah.
All right.
All right. All right. Well, I think we'll call it at that for today so we can talk Jets. Mike, nice job with one.
I feel great.
I hope the Eagles do better today than our performance.
Boy, oh boy. All right. So
overall records, though, I went like 5 for 5 on one of these things. So
you did, yeah, I was going to say, Andrew has proved himself pretty well, I must say. And I dug pretty deep to find
Jay Ajayi.
Any example? Well, I dug deep, as I said. All right. The Eagles today face the Jets at 1 o'clock up in the Meadowlands. The Eagles are 5-7. The Jets are 3-8. The history between these two teams. The Eagles began playing the Jets in 1973 and since are 11-0. They had met for joint practices in training camp of 2021. And both teams this year feature rookie head coaches and Robert Saleh for the Jets and obviously Nick Sirianni for the Eagles. Let's talk first about the Eagles offense and the Jets defense. Top of the list, Jalen Hurts will not play today. Gardner Minshew, the backup, will start. The acquisition traded for from Jacksonville. In addition, Jack Driscoll suffered a high ankle sprain against the Giants. He's out for the season. Miles Sanders is expected to play. Jordan Howard is not expected to play. Boston Scott is expected to play. The Jets' defense is somewhat depleted. They are missing their two starting corners, their top pass rusher in Carl Lawson, who they acquired from Cincinnati. So, given what we've seen from the Eagles when they've been successful last week in that brutal loss to the Giants, what would be your offensive approach in this game, Mike? Starting your backup quarterback after a week where there was sort of a weak offensive showing and they couldn't get anything going, what would be your approach?
I mean, I would stick to the formula, which is one of my critiques of Nick Sirianni, which is to have a strong run game. It's going to be a little bit different, though, without Hurts in there. You don't have Hurts as that threat. And that was one of my big pros on Hurts is, you know, he's a difference maker when it comes to running. So what that does to the run game, I don't know. But stick to the run game. Keep going downhill. Let your offensive line attack like that. when it comes to passing, I think that you got to expect pressure. You got to expect pressure all day on Minshew. He hasn't played in a while. They don't really know what to expect out of Minshew in an Eagles uniform. So I think
boxes probably today.
I would think that
pretty good defensive line too.
I would think the defensive strategy would be make this guy make quick decisions. And to counter that, I think Sirianni, they have to show the ability that Minshew is able to get the ball out on pass plays before the defense gets to him. So I think a lot of short, quick pass plays is what I would do with Minshew on top of running the ball heavily.
At least to start, I'm with you. At least to start, I'm with you. Matt, what are your thoughts on the offensive approach if you're in the coaching seat?
Oh, man, this is a toss-up, Chris. You know, because Minshew is a – he's got a good arm, and that fits Sirianni's scheme of throwing the ball. I do want to point out, since 2019, Minshew has one of the best touchdown to interception ratios. In 2019, he threw 21 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. 2020, he threw 16 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. But he was playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They went 6-6 and 1-7 in his time in 2019 and 2020. Just an awful program. And you got to also take into consideration Minshew has been throwing with the second offensive team for most of this year when he joined the Eagles.
So lean on the run game, start slow. Is that your kind of approach? Same kind of as Mike? Or
lean on the run game, but the run game is beat up. And for some reason, Sirianni has not trusted in Miles Sanders this season. Miles has not gotten his touches like he has in the past.
Could today be the day?
I hope so, Chris, because I still believe in Miles Sanders. So if Miles Sanders comes out and he's the workhorse today, I think that's the offensive approach. Will Sirianni do that? I don't know, because he hasn't done it all season.
What better cover for your backup quarterback than Miles Sanders, I can think.
Absolutely.
Is he your OPOG?
I'll lean on Miles Sanders
today.
All
right, today. I like that. He is expected to play after having left the game injured last week. Andrew, what are your thoughts on the approach for the offense this week and your offensive player of the game? Then we'll bounce back to Mike and I'll round it out.
Yeah, I mean, nothing different than what we're saying here. Pound the rock, run the ball, eat up some clock. But the Jets stink, all right?
Like, stink on ice.
Stink. And are missing their two top corners.
40-plus points the last, like, three of the last four games. They're a bad football team.
Yeah. Less in points allowed in the league.
I don't think you need Minshew to throw for 300 yards and all that, but I think 220, two touchdowns, and you run the hell out of the ball, and we win by 30.
So I love that. I like what Mike said in starting by leaning on the run game and some short passing, but I actually do want to see them open it up. If that's successful against a bad team, let them sling it a little bit. I want to see if they can. When's the last time the Eagles have had a deep play downfield? I would love to see that today.
Right.
And to me, this is an opportunity in that we all woke up this morning knowing, that Hurts was a game time decision. But realistically, what is wrong at this point, knowing that he's sitting out today, with seeing all of what Minshew has to offer? You traded for this guy to acquire him as your backup because it matters to have a good backup quarterback. And we know the history of backup quarterbacks in the city. So I want to see sort of the whole game plan, if it's possible, and the whole playbook, if they get to a point where they're sort of on top of this Jets team. And I would be excited to see Minshew have a good game, even despite the controversy that I know would follow.
Yeah.
Offensive player of the game, Mike.
I mean, I'll take a high-risk selection. Coming off terrible game where nobody has faith in him.
Wow.
I'm going to pick the true slot receiver of the receiver bunch in a game where I think quick passes across the middle are going to be the key.
Wow.
Go with Jalen Reagor.
Wow. It used to be the Nelson Agholor embassy that Mike stood at the door for. He was the security guard at the Nelson Agholor embassy, and Nelson has since vacated, and Jalen Reagor has moved
next
in.
Next man up, Jalen. Welcome to the Mike Donahue.
If their last name ends in O-R, they're for Mike Donahue. Wow. Okay. I'm going to round it out. Offensive player of the game.
You guys will be, I'll be the one laughing if he performs well.
I may need another place to watch this Michael.
I'm actually going to go with Devontae Smith. I think Devontae Smith is going to show out in this game. I think it's going to be one of those games where he's able to get catches over the middle and maybe even catch and run. I expect big things from him in this game, because I think for the most part, when it's Miles Sanders maybe being the best friend of the quarterback in the running game, I think Devontae Smith has the best chance to be that in the passing game. So it's an easy one, but I'm going with Devontae Smith.
Goddard for me.
Okay.
Goddard's my guy.
Okay. And that's interesting because Andrew has been an anti-Goddard guy, but has been a sort of a non-believer. And really, Goddard had a very quiet week last week. I think he has a mismatch, if nothing else, against this Jets defense. Yep. So let's talk a little about the Eagles defense playing the Jets offense, who's headed up by Zach Wilson, who's had a lot of injuries this year. I believe he has 4 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, if I'm not mistaken. The Eagles, again, as Mike mentioned earlier, are without Davion Taylor, who's on IR. Their defense has made some adjustments. They definitely mixed it up more with playing man and playing zone. They blitzed a little bit last week. But as Andrew harped on earlier, the defensive line has been underwhelming. And I think in this game, they can sort of get right. This is a game where they can make some hay against an inexperienced quarterback who really looks overmatched in a lot of situations. So any thoughts on the defensive approach today? The Jets do have a receiver in Elijah Moore, who's from Ole Miss, who I've actually liked from afar for a while because I wanted the Eagles to draft him as a potential slot receiver for them. They also have Corey Davis, who's going to be playing today. You remember him as being the guy who caught that play on the 4th and 22 when the Eagles were down in Nashville a couple years ago. So they have some Jamison Crowder. They have some players that will give the Eagles problems if they're not on their P's and Q's as far as the defensive backs are concerned. But as far as the defense, I think taking an aggressive approach with this quarterback is the best way to go. Does anybody have any opposing thoughts?
Yeah, with Zach Wilson starting, there was an article that came out, I believe today, or at least in the last few days, that it's well documented that he has these early game yips, they call them. And he admitted that when he gets in there, he just thinks he needs to go and needs to rip. So I think the game plan is you blitz, you get after him from the get-go.
You can get
a couple early turnovers and just take control of the game and then coast.
I like that because there's sort of two schools of thought, and I've seen, you know, all grown up Jim Johnson do this to younger quarterbacks where it's either I'm going to wait for you to make a mistake based on your inexperience or I'm going to force you to make a mistake.
Correct.
And I think Zach Wilson is more the latter, as Andrew said. Matt, same approach?
Go to Mike.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, do you think that's actually what gets implemented? Because that was our strategy against Daniel Jones and the Giants last week, and it completely burned us.
We didn't get to him.
He got quick passes out. He looked so comfortable. Like, Daniel Jones looked really good last week against the Eagles defense, and we were bringing pressure on him, but he was able to get the ball out. They had screen plays. They had well-designed plays to counter that.
That's a worry for me. This cannot be the figure-it-out game for Zach Wilson. Please.
Do the Eagles use that same strategy again? Maybe they're scared to use that now.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good counterpoint, but I don't think Zach Wilson is. I know Danny Jones isn't an elite quarterback by any means, but I think he's well above what Zach Wilson can do.
I think he's got a little more poise. Wilson looks really rattled to me. He looks really rattled to me when he's in there, whereas Jones, for all his shortcomings, he doesn't look like a player that really gets too rattled.
Yeah, and I don't know if like the Giants just had fired
Jason Garrett.
So they had some new energy in there. You know, maybe that was a combination too of not being able to had very well designed plays to counter our attacks, like, as you mentioned.
Also, say Daniel Jones is kind of a beanpole build, whereas Zach Wilson is a shorter guy. He got a great arm, but he's a much shorter guy. And there are a lot of things at BYU, if you watched last year, a lot of things at BYU made things easy for Zach Wilson that he's having to adjust to. And they're in a tough conference now.
Yeah.
You know, the Bills are good. The Dolphins are sort of ascending despite everything.
Yeah.
Patriots are good. So they're in a good conference. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, let's just remember that the Giants only scored 13 points last week. Their offense really didn't do much either. But
we kept them out of the end zone, but I thought they did a good job.
Stop defending the defensive line.
Moving the ball, especially running the clock out at the end of the game.
All right.
What's the game plan?
What's the game plan, Matt?
The game plan is to blitz more. I want to see some blitzing. That's what I want to see.
I actually love that Maddox blitz that they only did once in the last game. He's good at that. They need a corner that can do that. McLeod was when he first got here. I don't know where that went, but I've really liked the creativity when it comes from blitzes as it pertains to linebacker safeties or corners, and I don't think they do enough of that. I think the D-line actually gets more disruptive when they do that kind of thing. Even if it's T.J. Edwards coming up to the line, you'll see this a lot, and then he drops back into coverage. So let's talk defensive players of the game. If that's sort of the approaches that we're all going with. Matt, who's your defensive player of the game?
Alex Singleton. All right.
Wow.
I love this guy. I know that he may not be here in the long run, but I love what he's doing this season. Ninth in the league in tackles with 101 tackles. And I am guaranteeing he either gets in the sack or the interception column this today.
He played well last week.
Guaranteed.
I think he's
guaranteed.
A player. He's a player that I have concerns about playing too much, especially in the absence of Davion Taylor, because I thought Taylor and Edwards had a good dynamic going on, but I actually thought Singleton did well too. He's kind of like that kid that you would play like yard football with, who always went too hard and yes. was sort of overrun yes. and over pursue. Sort of the Mighty Ducks equivalent of Luis Mendoza. He just okay. can't stop.
Yeah, he can't stop.
You know? So if I could reach a little there. But I would hope that's the case. I think Singleton played really well last week. The question is, can he be able to sustain that over multiple games? Because he's a guy that, unfortunately for him, the more snaps he gets, the worse he tends to play. So I hope you're right. Defensive player of the game.
I'm right, Chris.
So I would love to go Slay in this, but he's always going to be a player of the game. He's having just a fantastic season.
Go Singleton, then.
No. I'm going to go someone who you've been on the boat with for a while, especially this season, Avante Maddox. Having a great come-out season. I think he's well-positioned. I think he kind of knows his role. I think Wilson's probably going to throw two picks, and I think one of them is to Maddox.
I love that. I mean, Maddox, you got to figure, Elijah Moore, their top target, is a slot receiver. Another top target who's killed the Eagles for years, Jamison Crowder, is a slot receiver. So regardless, you're going to figure Maddox is going to get his chances. I'd be curious to see who Slay follows today, if he does follow anybody or if they just sort of sit back in zone. But I like Maddox as a pick.
Yeah, I think they might have Slay on Corey more just for
bigger guy.
Yeah, body type. Mm-hmm. But Elijah's their number one.
Yeah, totally agree.
Sorry to jump in here. Breaking news. The line has jumped to -4.5.
Wow. It was -7 at one point this week. So
Jump down.
All right. So, Mike, who is your defensive player of the game? And then we're going to get some score predictions, wrap up, and enjoy this game.
Hammer that -4.5.
Well, I'm gonna go with a player who's really been picking up his game over this year, just signed a new contract, TJ Edwards. I think he can continue to beast. I really like his ability to lock, kind of do the lateral movement and then lock in on holes that he sees either from the running back or a screen pass or whatnot. He's able to move quite well and shut down a play that would potentially go for big yards if it weren't for, you know, he does what the linebacker is supposed to do, and I love his play. I'm excited to see him play against the Jets today.
I think you're right on with that, and I think the Eagles absolutely love his play because they signed him after that great performance against New Orleans. I guess that was a couple weeks ago now. So I love that call, and I think TJ Edwards, for what he is a good linebacker. But again, as I mentioned earlier, I would not hesitate to get a linebacker early in this draft.
Oh, we're drafting linebackers. Come on.
But I think that's a good call, and I think if he winds up getting another contract, I would not be surprised. An undrafted free agent who's really, despite the fact that he ran like a 4.7 40, he's really proved himself as a player and almost had a pretty big pick last week. That was one that kind of got away from him. I was inclined to say, as Andrew mentioned earlier, Darius Slay, but I have to figure this week in film study and all that sort of stuff that they are hammering on Zach Wilson. Do not throw the ball where you see number two. I'm actually going to go with number 93, Milton Williams. If Milton Williams is able to play today, I think he will use his spin move, and I see one sack today for Milton Williams. So I see the D-line being able to get after it. I see a lot of attention paid to Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave, and because of that, I see Milton Williams being able to get in there for at least one sack today. Let's get to some score predictions. As Matt just updated us, the Eagles Jets line started at Eagles -7. It's now down to Eagles -4.5. Let's start with Matt. What is your score prediction for today? Eagles at 5-7, Jets at 3-8.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off that too. Over under is set at -44 points. So I'm pounding the over there because you have Eagles averaging over 25 points a game, you said, Chris.
Yep.
And you have Jets giving up the most points. So I think they're in the 30s this week. I'm going 32. 21, Eagles over the Jets.
Minshew with a great day.
Great day. Okay. Well, and Miles Sanders with two touchdowns on the ground.
I like that. Okay. Wow. Miles Sanders with two touchdowns on the ground and Alex Singleton with a...
With a pick or a sack.
Wow. He will be in that column.
That's quite a day. Andrew, what do you see in the score?
41-14, Birds. This is going to be a steamroll.
Wow.
Love it. Love it.
Like a Detroit-style steamroll?
Michael, what are you seeing?
I mean, I'm questioning what I originally had thought here, but I was seeing a
Rager sucks.
I was seeing hitting the under on this. I'm thinking Eagles win for sure, 24-13.
Okay.
A little tighter.
I'm also seeing an Eagles win. It's going to be Eagles 37, Jets 17.
Wow.
Ooh, I like it, Chris.
We got a couple blowouts.
We wake up tomorrow morning to a real quarterback controversy. Gardner Minshew is going to have a day. He's
going to
have a day. Look, I think what's going to wind up happening, I think what's going to wind up happening is, regardless of what Mike is saying right now, and regardless of Jalen Hurts' resume and the good games that he's played this year, I think we're going to see a good performance from Gardner Minshew because of this habit of backup quarterbacks in Philadelphia sort of shining when they have their moment. Yeah. So,
you know, Minshew's not a quarterback of the future.
I don't think of it as a controversy. I know that I want to see Jalen Hurts play more, and I know that
there
he's
is
more
no controversy.
In, he's, there's more invested, there's more invested in him, but I do think we're going to see something from Minshew today that there will be a contingent of people tomorrow pushing for Gardner Minshew to get the start in future games. Having said that, fellas, go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.